With you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. The feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. A feast that reminds us of our belief as Catholics that what you're gonna receive in about 10, 15 minutes is not just bread, but it's truly the body of Christ, the flesh of Christ. And I know this is a difficult, doctrine to believe in, because obviously what we see is regular bread. But yet, our faith tells us it's the body of Christ. And when we go back to receiving the wine, it's not wine, but the blood of Christ. So it's normal for that the first question may come to our mind, well, how do we know this if obviously it looks like, it tastes like, bread and wine? Well, there is a simple answer to that question. How do we know this? It's because Jesus told us so. You heard the gospel today. That's from John chapter 6, the bread of life discourse. And in this short passage, Jesus over and over says about 5 or 6 times, "Unless you eat my flesh, you have no life in you." Obviously, he was not talking to dead people. He was talking to living people, so they have, human life. But he's talking about eternal life. And he says, "I will raise you up. Whoever eats my bread, I will raise him up back to life when we die." Just like he rose from the dead. So either Jesus is a liar, or truly what we receive is his body and blood. That's the only two options. And if he lied about this, then why would we believe anything else that's in the Bible, that's in scriptures? Now you might say, well, okay, Father, but wait a second, maybe Jesus did not mean this literally. That's a valid question. But if you continue reading from John chapter 6 after this passage, and we already heard in this passage that many of the people following saying, wait a minute, this teaching is impossible. How can we eat his flesh? But later on, we're told that many of his disciples, not the crowds, but his disciples left him because of this teaching. They stopped following Jesus. And Jesus knew it because he turns to Peter and said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter says, "Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter and the apostles didn't understand either what Jesus meant, that we have to eat his flesh. Remember, this is before he celebrated the first Eucharist with them on the Passover night. But he trusted in the words of Jesus. He trusted Jesus because he's been following Jesus. You've seen his power. He's heard what he said, and he believed in what he heard and seen. So now, if Jesus did not mean this literally, wouldn't he have told the people, wait a minute, where are you going? I don't mean this literally. It's a figure of a speech. Come back. But he did not. He let them go. For the first 1,500 years of Christianity, every Christian believed in the true presence, that what we believe is the body of Christ, what we receive is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and not bread and wine. So that's why we believe. I don't know how you can read this part of John chapter 6 and not believe in what Jesus told us. But what does that really mean? I mean, how are we eating the flesh of Jesus? Well, it means that what you receive doesn't just go through you without any effect, without any impact. You know, we are on this journey. God created us so that one day we can freely choose to love God back as he loves us and want to be with him in heaven. God created us as his children. And what father, what mother, what parents don't want to have always be with their children and live happily ever after? That's what God wants, just like any human parent wants. But God wants us to make that choice freely, not to be forced on us. So he created us, he gave us free will, and he revealed to us that he's a God of love, he's our Father, he cares about us, he wants us to have eternal life, and that's why he sent Jesus, God in human form, to be among us. So he can die on the cross for us. So he can forgive us our sins, and now we have that opportunity of having eternal life if we choose to, if we follow Christ, if we follow his commandments of love, his way of love. But we know the way of love is not easy, at least not the way Jesus taught us that love should be about, all about. It's not about meeting our needs and feeling good about ourselves. It's not about how we feel about something or someone. True love means sacrifice. True love means commitment to the truth, commitment to God. True love means giving of ourselves instead of being on the receiving end all the time, just like Jesus, he did for us on the cross. And every time we come to Mass, we are reminded of that's what true love is, as we remember Jesus' death and resurrection. As we come in, we bring our gifts, we give them to God, so God can bless them and give them back to us as the bread of life and the cup of salvation. We give of ourselves, we give of our fruit of our work, and God gives it back to us after he elevates it to a divine power. We cannot love the way God loves on our own. Because if we can do it, then Christianity is nothing else but a know-how, you know, kind of philosophy. How to get yourself to heaven? Follow these directions. We can only get to heaven with the help of Jesus. For us, for human beings to one day to become divine like God is, we can't do it on our own. We need the help of God himself, who gives us that power of love in us so we begin to be transformed from the inside out, so we can grow in our love that one day we only don't love our family and friends, our people who like or people who agree with us, but even we can love our enemies. That's tremendous kind of love. And we need God's help. Because our temptation is, you know, yeah, I want to get to heaven. I love Jesus. I believe in God. But I can do it myself. I don't need God's help anymore. That's the dying that we have to do to ourselves. That no, despite how educated I am, how rich I am, how powerful I am, how blessed and talented I am, I cannot get to heaven without the help of God. So we humbly come forward to receive the Eucharist, to receive the grace of God, so God can help us in this transformation. And without it, there is no heaven for us, because we're still rebellious and telling God, you know, God, I don't want to partner with you. I got this in control. I'm in charge here. I'll make my way to you. And Jesus showed us, no, we can't. Only with his help as food for us on this journey. Now, that's great theological, you know, explanation, but does it really work? Is it real? Well, I can only tell you about my experience. As you know, I shared my story with you before. I was born in a Catholic family. I was baptized, received, but was confirmed at baptism, and my parents, who were not practicing their faith, put me in a Catholic school to second grade so I can make my first communion. Well, my first communion was my last communion for 20 years because my parents took me out of the Catholic schools after second grade. And they weren't going to church, so I wasn't going to church. Till 20 years later, as an adult at 27 years old, just one Sunday, we said, well, let's go to a church and have brunch. And that was my first time going back to church in 20 years. It happened to be a Catholic church. And then little by little, I started to go more often, not every Sunday. Little by little, I was more curious about my faith, my church, what do we believe, why we believe what we believe. So I started, you know, taking classes, joined, you know, Christian service ministries, took Bible study. And little by little, I was going more regular on Sunday, every Sunday. Then I started going on the weekdays. And 7 years later, I was willing to let go of my life and choose to become a priest. That's a big step, even in 7 years. How did I get to that point? Why I was willing to let go of my business, my family, having, you know, being married and having my own children to serve God as a priest? Nobody, you know, brainwashed me. It wasn't the pay or the, you know, the glamour of being a priest that attracted me. It was the Eucharist. That's the only thing I was doing. Going to Mass, receiving the Eucharist, and little by little, I began my way of thinking, my priorities, the way I looked at life began to change till I get to the point that I said, okay, God, I'm willing to let go and follow you. I don't know to where, I don't know to what, but I'm gonna follow you at this moment. That's why I believe that the Eucharist is truly the body of Christ, because it changed me, and it could change each one of you. That's what we celebrate today, that what you receive is truly Jesus, the power of love, to help each one of us grow in love so that one day we can be with the God of love for all eternity. For those who are joining us on Streamline, I'm sure, you know, you can't be with us here, obviously, if you're sick, if you're bedridden. But no, we have a ministry that we can bring the Eucharist to you. Just call our office and let us know. Obviously, if you live kind of close by to Holy Family. But it's essential that you receive the body of Christ. And we're here to serve it to you. Let us know. Call us. If you are at home watching TV because it's easier to do it in your PJs, more relaxing, it's not the same, brothers and sisters. Today I invite you to reconsider, to rethink, and come join us in person because we love to see you, but most importantly, because Jesus wants you to get to heaven and you need to receive his body. We hear his words. The words call us what to be, show us the future, what kind of future God wants for us. But we cannot do it alone without the help of God. And he's here waiting for you. Make that sacrifice and join us. And for all of us, I want to take some time today and reflect on what do you believe about the Eucharist? What's your personal belief? Why you come Sunday? Because it's not magic just because I come and receive the Eucharist. We have to be open to that change. We have to desire that transformation, to grow in love, to do God's will, because that's how we show God our love for Him, when we do what God wants us to do. Whatever He's telling you to do, whatever He plans, has for you. The Eucharist will help you to say yes to those plans and live a more fulfilled life, a more joy-filled life, and a more peaceful life. So think about it. What's your story with the Eucharist? Have the Eucharist changed you? In what way? That's what we remember today. Jesus died on the cross to give us His body and blood. How do we respond to that gift of eternal life?